Hi, this is Pastor Matt, and I want to welcome you to our Blue Oaks Church podcast. At the end of this episode, feel free to download our Blue Oaks Church app, where you'll be able to access resources, events, and ways to get connected at Blue Oaks and in the community. The app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around Blue Oaks. Most importantly, though, I just hope that you enjoy this episode and it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Goodwill toward men. What wonderful sounding words of aspirational and idyllic utopia. Words that seem further from reality, perhaps more now than ever before. In a world where peace of any kind seems so hard to come by, the promise of peace at Christmas might just be the hope we didn't even realize we needed. Hello, my name is Jeremiah Raymer. I want to welcome you to Blue Oaks. I used to be on staff here in the early years, and I've continued following this great church. I'm blown away by how God has grown you from infancy to where you are today. And I became the lead pastor of Crossroads Church in West Texas in 2020, but Matt and I go way back, and I have a fondness and a love for your pastor. I'm so proud of the man that he is. Through everything, his love for Jesus and people have never wavered. I also work closely with the Joes, Joe Hartley and Joe Honzik, as well as Jordan Livenchuk and many of you. I see a lot of familiar faces. I got to talk to a lot of you in the lobby, and I'll be out there between services as well. I just love Blue Oaks. I love everything this church stands for, and it's an honor to be able to speak to you today. Here we are, only 4 days away from Christmas. If you haven't done your Christmas shopping yet, look at me. You are in serious trouble. Serious trouble. I think I saw a few husbands freak out just now. Not gonna lie. There are probably a few women who are thinking, you know what? If my husband doesn't come through this Christmas, he's gonna spend the month of January sleeping on the couch. And I'm such a great husband, you know, that I wait until the very last minute to get my wife a Christmas gift. I have my reasons. For example, I love the adrenaline rush of a near-death experience in the mall parking lot. Trying to get that last spot, right? In fact, you know what? Raise your hand this morning if you're willing to admit, hey, I have a little bit of road rage during the holidays. Okay, thank you. A few of you are very honest. Thank you for your honesty. Nobody's riding with you ever again. Just want to be clear. Yeah, it's just crazy to go anywhere during the holiday season. You just don't go to the mall after Thanksgiving if you're looking for peace on earth. All this talk about crazy drivers and shopping malls and gifts that you still need to buy is causing your blood pressure to spike just a little bit. The parties you have between now and Christmas, the food you need to prepare this week, the fact that your in-laws are coming to stay with you for Christmas, and the fact that your husband only happened to mention this to you, your incoming in-laws, on your way to church this morning. All this has you more stressed than maybe you've ever been in your entire life. And many of us find ourselves overwhelmed, not just with tidings of good joy and hope and holiday cheer, but with exhaustion, disappointment, maybe even a touch of depression. And all the traditions and celebrations can quickly turn into expectations and commitments. The financial burden is at its peak during the Christmas season. Some of you have some very stressful family connections that blow up around the holidays. It's supposed to be a very Merry Christmas, but you find when your family gets together, it feels a lot more like a very Jerry Springer Christmas. If you don't understand that reference, it's okay. It can feel impossible at times to find peace in a holiday world gone mad. But what if I told you that one of the greatest gifts God has ever given is the gift of peace? Christmas has become known as a time of giving and receiving gifts, and God is actually at the center of that idea. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah uttered this beautiful promise in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." These four names reflect the nature and the character of the Messiah that was to come into the world that first Christmas over 2,000 years ago. Jesus the Christ, Son of God, the Savior of the world. When life feels confusing, he's a wonderful counselor. When we feel powerless, he's a mighty God. When we feel alone, he's an everlasting Father. When the world feels chaotic, he is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he's our Prince of Peace. But let me ask you an important question this morning. Is Jesus your Prince of Peace? Is he your Prince of Peace? Christmas is a celebration of Jesus' birthday, and our society has sort of turned it into something else. Christmas isn't about the gifts. It's not about the traditions, the parties, or even time with family. Christmas is a celebration of God's gift of Jesus to the world. Christmas is a time when we celebrate the peace that God's presence brings to our lives. But many of us are probably wondering, where is that peace? I'm not really feeling it. My hope, my prayer for you this morning is that you'll experience the peace that only the Prince of Peace can offer you. Maybe right here in this moment, in the comfort and the familiarity of one of the few church services you plan to attend this year, you feel more spiritual peace than at any other time in your life. Maybe you're wondering where this Prince of Peace has been during the rest of your year, during the craziness of everyday life. We're going to look at Luke chapter 2 in a moment. But when Jesus was born, the angels filled the skies over the shepherds in the fields, and they declared, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And in the craziness of this Christmas season, God wants us to find peace in his son, Jesus. Not just peace, like the absence of conflict or war, but true spiritual peace, the kind of peace you need to survive the challenges in your family and in your work. The kind of peace the Apostle Paul talks about in his letter to the church in Philippi. This guy, Paul, has a crazy life story. He wrote his letter to the Philippians from jail in Rome. He was thrown in prison for preaching about Jesus and spent most of the later years in his life in prison. He wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he said, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." In the midst of the craziness of this world, God wants us to find peace in his son, Jesus. He wants us to have a peace that transcends understanding, a peace that marks us and sets us apart in a world full of worry and stress. So let's jump in and start reading in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" Can you even imagine what Mary must have felt in this moment? I mean, if you look through the scriptures, you'll see that whenever an angel of God shows up, people are scared to death. Angels aren't like the tree topper your grandma put on top of her Christmas tree. Angels in the Bible are scary and overwhelming. Notice Gabriel shows up with a message for Mary, but she was terrified, and so he had to ease her fears. He told her, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." That's because normally when an angel shows up, something crazy happens, something wild, someone dies or someone gets hurt. These guys are powerful in their presence. Wasn't just beautiful, but it was shocking and humbling to the point that you felt your life was in danger when an angel showed up. But no worries, Mary. No worries. This angel isn't here to kill you, just to tell you that you're going to become pregnant. And good news, it's going to be a boy. Oh, but did I mention it's going to be God's baby? Can you even imagine? Let's look at Mary's response in verse 34. She says, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." I love it. Mary's like, Mr. Gabriel, I'm not sure about that. One problem. It's not possible for me to be pregnant if you catch my drift, right? How's this going to happen? And Gabriel says in verse 35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, You have to know, Mary was aware of the prophecy about the birth of the Messiah to a virgin. She would have made the connection immediately to prophecies like one made by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Can you imagine how a humble teenage girl might be shocked or surprised by this news, that somehow God had chosen her to serve in this way? And then immediately following her surprise and shock, I'm sure sheer terror followed. This was big, life-altering, life-changing news. Anybody try to quietly take back unwanted Christmas gifts? Anybody? Okay, so I'm the only one, all right? Everyone has that one extended family member, right? They're always going to get you something that you would never, ever wear. And so before you even open up their gift, you already know you're going to be heading back to the mall, heading to Amazon to make a return or an exchange. I sort of wonder if Mary might have felt a little bit like that in this moment. Like, wow, Gabriel, this is such a great gift. But then thinking to herself, I wonder what the return policy is. Can I give this gift back somehow? I'm just not sure this is something I can handle. But Mary doesn't shy away from this big moment. She responds to Gabriel and to God in Luke 1:38. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. I hope you're starting to see that Mary didn't have an easy road to the first Christmas. Even though I'm sure she was wrestling with some serious doubts and worries, she didn't let them keep her from accepting God's assignment for her. Worry is anxiousness about an uncertain future. Worry is the opposite of peace. James Brian Smith defines worry in his book, The Good and Beautiful Life. He says, worry is what happens when we go beyond concern and caution and begin to fear what we can't control. He goes on to say that worry is the root of anxiety and stress. It's impossible to feel anxious or stressed without the presence of worry in your life. Proverbs is a book of wise sayings in the Bible, and Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25 says, anxiety weighs down the heart. We now know that worry is one of the worst things for your heart. It's not just a spiritual weighing down of the heart, but worry will eventually kill you. Living life without peace is a recipe for a life of pain and sickness, both physically and spiritually. Peace, on the other hand, is confidence in the face of an uncertain future. Mary can't see the future. She's just going off what she knows about God, what she knows about the ultimate Prince of Peace and his track record in her life. And she chooses to trust God, even in the midst of an uncertain future. She could have let her concerns about how her family and her community would treat her cause her to doubt God's control over her future. Mary could have easily started predicting the outcomes of this situation for her life. She would be found out, scorned, rejected by her community, and then probably stoned to death because of her pregnancy. But she doesn't let those uncertainties about her future keep her from trusting God's plan. Let's look at Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 for a second. Starting in verse 19, it says, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him to the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Then Matthew tells us, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. So obviously the cat is out of the bag at this point. We can't be sure if Mary went to Joseph first and tried to make her case, or if she just started showing a little bit, and so then Joseph had a pretty good idea of what was going on. Can you imagine what that conversation must have been like? I mean, Mary was trying to tell her fiance that she didn't cheat on him and that the baby growing inside of her was actually God's. Wild, right? No wonder Joseph felt compassion for Mary. He probably thought, she's bonkers. I can just imagine Joseph thinking, wow, Mary has totally lost her mind. You can just imagine all the emotion he would have felt towards her. He was ready to get rid of her quietly so she wouldn't be disgraced and because he still loved her. You think Joseph was feeling some worry on his journey toward the very first Christmas? I bet he was more stressed than he'd ever been before. But when God sent the angel to him in a dream, he didn't ask for a second opinion. He didn't second guess what God had told him. Sure, his future seemed uncertain. He was probably still not 100% clear about how all of this was going to work out, all this was going to play out. But that didn't matter. Joseph knew what God wanted him to do next because he didn't hesitate. He obeyed. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and the angels, right? And the angels in the field over the shepherds were saying, peace on earth. But for some reason, when I think about that first Christmas, when I think about the birth of Jesus, I don't get super peaceful vibes. I mean, a teenage girl named Mary, who is already engaged, learns that she's pregnant with God's son. You could just imagine how that went down in the nail salon, right? Right? Like, oh girl, I mean, it's not an easy thing to explain. Like, oh, congrats on your little one, Mary. You and Joseph must be so excited. it's actually not Joseph's baby. It's God's baby. Oh, wow. Well, isn't that exciting? You know, congratulations. You get what I'm trying to say? This isn't a very peaceful story. Let's pick back up Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Well, Mary is ready to pop like any day, and they have to make a 100-plus mile trip to Bethlehem. They didn't have a minivan, not even a motorcycle. They had a donkey. Come on, somebody. Yes, Mary rode for 100-plus miles on the back of a donkey while 9 months pregnant. Top that. Can't think of anything peaceful about that trip. Not even one thing. So they pull into Bethlehem, and you know Mary's just chewing Joseph out, right? Like, Joseph, get us a place to stay and hurry before I have this baby while riding on this donkey. So Joseph, like, ties Mary's donkey to the post and just starts running from hotel to hotel to hotel, and there's nothing. Everything is booked solid. Looks like everyone else's donkey was a lot faster than theirs. Joseph comes back to check on Mary, and she's having none of it. Get me a room, Joseph. I mean, really? Do I have to get the room myself and have the baby? You could just imagine, right? Finally, just when Joseph is about to lose hope, one generous innkeeper offers up his stable. I'm sure Mary was thrilled. Oh, that's great, Joseph. Our child, God's son, is going to come into the world in a barn. It's what I've always dreamed about, you know, with the animals and the animal poop, you know, all the stuff the dreams are made of. It's interesting to think about Mary, to think about this, isn't it? Why do you think God, in all of his power and incredible wisdom, decided that all of the rooms were going to be sold out that night? Maybe it was to teach us something about the presence of Jesus in our lives. Follow me here. If you have no room in your heart, in your life, for Jesus this Christmas, then you're not going to be able to experience peace. If the worries of your life have cluttered your heart and your mind, your soul with anxiety, then there's no room for the peace that Jesus offers. And you might be thinking in this moment, okay, well, my heart is full of worry, and the stresses of life have crowded Jesus out of my heart, out of my life. What do I do? What do I do? And that's a great question. I think the first thing you have to ask is, who is this Jesus guy? Well, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Yeah, but what does that mean? The Hebrew word for Prince of Peace is Sar Shalom. Would you say that with me? Sar Shalom. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. The Hebrew word Sar is a reference to the one who is in control. It means the Lord, the chief, the general, Sar. The Romans grabbed Sar and it became Caesar, and then it morphed into Caesar, like Julius Caesar. Well, Jesus is the Sar. He's the one who's in charge. He's the captain, the chief, the master, the Lord. The Hebrew word shalom is probably more familiar to you. Shalom is a greeting people would offer one another, and it means rest or peace. Shalom has an air of completeness or wholeness about it. It has a sort of satisfying feeling to it. So Jesus is the Sar Shalom. He's the Lord of rest, the chief of tranquility and serenity. He's in charge and he offers satisfaction. Jesus is the Sar Shalom. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Come on now. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Isn't that good news? So what you have to do is give the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, back his rightful place of lordship in your heart and life. You can't live according to the old life, the old way of thinking. Now you live according to the desire of the Sar Shalom, Lord, in your life. Paul wrote in his letter to the church in Galatia, in Galatians 5, verse 16, he says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature desires, what your sinful nature craves." He goes on to say in verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace." So if you want to experience the peace that the Sar Shalom, that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, offers, then you will have to let the Holy Spirit guide your life. And when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, Jesus gives us a supernatural peace that transcends our ability to understand. When the Holy Spirit takes over in our lives, we begin to experience a peace, even in the midst of the worst trials and the greatest pains. Jesus offers us peace in the face of an uncertain future. In John 14, 27, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Jesus doesn't offer us peace that we can get anywhere else. He said, "My peace I give to you." And just like we see in the lives of Mary and Joseph that first Christmas, the Sar Shalom doesn't bring peace in the way the world defines peace. The Prince of Peace offers you peace that isn't affected by your circumstances. The Sar Shalom offers you peace that's immune to the troubles of this life. It's not some shallow, temporary type of peace that comes and goes at the whims of the storms raging both around and within us. Jesus doesn't offer us peace that the world is capable of offering us. He says, don't be troubled, don't be anxious, don't be afraid, and don't be worried. When we allow the presence of Jesus into our lives and the Holy Spirit is in control, then and only then can we experience true peace. Or you might be thinking to yourself, well, what if I feel like I don't have this peace you're talking about? You might be thinking, I've been a follower of Jesus for my whole life, but for some reason, I don't have this peace you're talking about. I have this stinking suspicion that many of us, and many of you, are a lot like me. You want to receive the gift of God's peace. You want to live in His peace, but you have a hard time knowing how to do that. And more often than not, I will try to pull myself up by my own spiritual bootstraps to see if I can just muscle through and do better. You know what I mean, right? Well, you've probably figured out by now that will never work. It will never work. But here's the thing. Even if you feel like that will never work, you still keep trying the do-it-yourself method of finding peace. We read earlier in the message what Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. So when we realize that we're trying to find our own version of peace, we simply go to God and make our request to Him. We literally talk to God about every situation, about every challenge, about every worry, every concern, everything that's keeping us from experiencing His peace. This is the first step to finding peace. Maybe you need to ask God to bring peace in the midst of your worries. And then watch what happens in the next verse, verse 7. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So when life starts to spiral out of control or we feel worry starting to creep into our lives, what do? We go and we take our requests and we present them to God. We just admit to Him, I can't do this. I've tried. I can't manage this. You are the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. I'm trusting you with this worry. I'm trusting you with this anxiety. I'm exchanging my worry for your peace. And then you let go of that worry. And when another worry comes, because you know it will, you repeat the process. And then as you grow and you become more mature, don't fall into the trap of thinking, oh, I got this. I should be able to carry myself through this on my own. I'm sure that Mary and Joseph were asking God for peace in the midst of their worries on that first Christmas night. I love how the manger scene has become so popular. We sort of look at the manger scene and our first response is like, oh, isn't that so precious? Right? We have this sort of idyllic feeling about that night. Maybe you have this sort of emotional connection to the manger scene because it's the same one you grew up with at your house as a kid. And so when you see the manger scene on the table in your entryway, it reminds you of all those wonderful Christmas memories. You know, when my daughters were little, they loved playing with the beautiful, expensive manger scene my mother-in-law gave us. They loved it so much, we had to buy a cheap, non-breakable version that they couldn't carry around, drop, chew on, and try to break. And so they wouldn't break the fancy one. In fact, if the Raymers are coming to your place during the Christmas holiday, you should hide your manger scene, okay? I think our little manger scene decorations have done a lot to misconstrue what that holy night was really like. Can you imagine what it must have been like that night, the night Jesus was born? I have four daughters, ages ranging from 14 to age 4. And that means I've been in the hospital room during the birth of 4 children. This may come as a shock to you, but it was no walk in the holiday park, let me tell you. And I didn't even actually give birth. Yet my life has been forever changed by the experience of just being in the room when my wife gave birth to my girls. So Mary gives birth to Jesus in the stable of all places with the animals. No epidural, no drugs, no nurses, no doctors, just the stable, the animals, and Joseph. And finally, the Prince of Peace was born. A holy night, the night when Christ was born. We read in Luke 2, verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." The shepherds are an interesting part of the Christmas story. I think they help tie together the story for all people everywhere. They sort of represent the masses. The angel calms their fears and announces the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, and a host. Now, I have no idea how many angels it takes to make a host, but I bet it's a lot. And a host of angels appear and they start praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And I love what the shepherds do next. It says in verse 16, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. Shepherds at this point in history were sort of the second-class citizens of the community. But God, in an incredible picture of his love for all of humanity, for the lowly and the humble, sent angels to announce to shepherds the birth of Jesus. They packed up and they went looking for Jesus. That's right. They didn't wait around for something else to happen. They heard God speaking to them and they went on a search right away for the greatest gift the world has ever been given. They went looking for Jesus. And here's my favorite thing about the shepherds. When they met Jesus, they didn't keep that experience to themselves. I think it's so important that we follow the example of the shepherds and to share Jesus with our families, our friends, our neighbors. Christmas Eve is only 4 days away here at Blue Oaks. You have 4 services on Wednesday at 1, 2:30, 4, and 5:30 p.m. And you have no idea what just one invite from you to the family that lives down the street to a Christmas Eve service might do to transform their lives, their entire family. The best way to celebrate the birth of Jesus is to tell others about him. I'm praying that you will see many new faces on Christmas Eve here at Blue Oaks. You know, talking about the Prince of Peace and finding peace. The reality is you can't have the peace that the Sar Shalom that Jesus offers if you don't have the Prince of Peace. If you want the peace, the Sar Shalom that Jesus offers, then you must choose to receive the forgiveness and the salvation that the Prince of Peace offers. But today, if there's never been a time when you've said yes to Jesus, if there's never been a moment where you said, yep, you know what? I want Jesus to be the Sar Shalom, the Lord in my life. And you can give your heart, your life to him. You can trust him for the forgiveness of sin, for salvation, eternal life, but not just eternal life, but life now with his Spirit leading and guiding you, bringing his peace into your life. But if you've never had that moment where you said yes to him, I want to give you an opportunity to make that decision right now, today. Would you bow your heads with me? I'm going to say a prayer. And if this is a moment where you would like to say yes to Jesus for the first time, you could repeat this prayer in the quietness of your own mind and heart. You can say yes to Jesus today. Prayer goes like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I've made mistakes. I've got regrets. But Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you lived a perfect, holy, sinless life. And then you went to the cross to pay the penalty, the price, for my sins, for my mistakes. And Jesus, based on your sacrifice, I'm asking you to forgive me. Forgive my sin. Not only that, but Jesus, I believe that you rose from the grave 3 days later. And Jesus, I believe in your resurrection. And based on that, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my heart and my life and to save me. Jesus, I want to know that when I die, I will spend eternity with you in heaven, but I want your Spirit now in this life. I want your peace. Thank you, Jesus, for dying in my place, for forgiving and saving me. I'm saying yes to you today, right now. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If that's a prayer that you prayed, no one's looking around, it's just me. Would you just slip your hand up where you are? I want to pray for you. Just slip your hand up. Yes, Pastor, I said yes to Jesus today. Thank you. Just hold your hand up so I can see it. I want to pray for you. I see you. Several hands across the room. Thank you. Just keep your hand up. Thank you. I want to pray for you. Dear Jesus, thank you for these hands. Many hands across the room of men and women declaring their faith in you. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of forgiveness and salvation and eternal life, for the gift of your Spirit in this life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those who have responded in faith today. Okay, you put your hand down, every head still bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for a couple of months or a year, 5 years, maybe even an entire lifetime, but the truth is you've lost sight of his supernatural peace. Why don't you just humble yourself before him right now and confess that you need him? You need the peace that you can only find in him. Exchange your worries, your anxieties for peace in the face of uncertainty. Ask him to be with you. He is Emmanuel, God with you. Dear Jesus, thank you for your great love, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word, Lord, for the hope we have because of you. You came into the world that first Christmas, but it wasn't what anyone expected, Lord, but it was exactly what we needed. Thank you for being peace in a world that seems to be so at war, God, at odds, full of tension and strife and challenge. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope we have because of you. It's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Hey, once again, thanks for listening. We hope you found something in this week's message to take away and apply to your life this week. If you live in the Bay Area, we would love to have you join us for one of our weekend services. For directions or information about what we have for you or your family, your students, you can go to blueoaks.church or download the app today. And we hope to see you on Sunday soon.